It's time for the gardening show.
I have a European beech tree.
I've got one, too, and I dearly love it. So.
Oh, I love it, too. I hug it once in a while. Not silly, but what the heck, you know.
Never hurts.
Got a question for your gardening expert, Dr. Dean Crosscough? Call 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
I have a rose bush, and it is 52 years old.
Horticulturist Dr. Dean Crosscough is your host on the program filled with helpful information on lawn care, tree problems, gardens, crops, pests, everything and anything gardeners need to know.
I'm hoping that maybe I can get it moved without it dying.
Dean spent almost 30 years teaching horticulture at Michigan State University, and he served as the Integrated Crop Management Agent for Southeast Michigan's MSU Extension Service. The Gardening Show and your calls coming up next on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Crosscough.
Welcome to another edition of the Gardening Show. 1-800-859-0957 to join our conversation. And certainly we have lines open right now, although that may not last that long. So let me give you that number again. 1-800-859-0957. Got a lot to talk about. It actually is becoming spring-like out there after winter went through last week. But anyhow, we'll talk a little bit about cold damage today if we get a chance. Also, a couple of garden shows coming up, some great educational opportunities, and, of course, your questions. And, of course, you can call me, 1-800-859-0957, or you can email me on WJR.com, which is our flagship station. And down there, and when you say on the air, down at the bottom, Weekend Experts, and then you can click down into my show. One of the things I have found that people are getting, we changed the look of the website. I like it. Really, it works well. But a couple people said, wait a minute, you kind of screwed me up here. And if you need to look at last week's show for all that information, or the podcast, if you just totally missed it or want to go back and see what I said, it's down at the bottom of the page, past where you can email me. So it's below that form. So keep on going down, and you'll find the information you need. But you can email me, too. And Larry and Wyandotte and a couple other people, I'll get to you today. You email me. I can't answer you directly back on email, but I can sure get you on the air. So 1-800-859-0957. Talk about spring. I don't want to go any of the puns. I'm just saying there's a lot of activities coming up really quickly. And this is one that you may need to get onto real quick. And this is the annual educational event at MSU. It's called Can You Dig It This Year? It's at coming up on this coming Saturday, May the 2nd. Keynote speaker is Barry Glick from West Virginia. He's going to be talking about wildflowers and then joys of propagation. Art Cameron's going to do the art of gardening. And if you've never been in one of Dr. Cameron's presentations, his presentations are a real art, let alone what the information he's going to be talking about. Jessica Wright and Val Albright, Elevating the Recipe Garden. It's an all-day session, 8 to 4:15. Last time I heard, there were 10 spaces left. So this is going to come up quickly, or fill up. If you want to check out the information, check my website, and it's in the events section. Again, if you're a nonprofit, whatever, or doing something educational or supportive of the like hunger campaigns and all that, email me. We'll get you on the air, or at least we'll get you on the website to give you some publicity. And, of course, that's WJR.com. Click on air and then Weekend Experts. 1-800-859-0957. Or the email me. You can do that. Other things that are coming up real quickly is the May 7th and 10th is the North American Rock Garden Society annual convention here in Ann Arbor. And I'll be talking about that next week. And the week after that, is if you're in the mid-Michigan area, this is the time that I go look at plants, because this is May 15th and 16th. This is the Michigan State Horticulture Gardens plant sale. And I've been looking at what they've got. It's great. And the 15th, though, that's for members only. Now, you know, we're practical about that, and so is MSU. If you want to become a member, they'll take your money right at the door. It's, I think, at $35, but you get Great discounts on the plant sale. You'll probably save that right away. Plus all the other perks that you get, educational opportunities, tours of the garden, you name it. And that's coming up May the 15th. And the 16th is for the open for non-members, just the rest of us out there. 1-800-859-0957. And let's go to Tom in Midland. Tom, welcome to the gardening show.
Yeah, hi. I've got some spruce trees that I was told have a needle drop.
Needle cast?
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was supposed to be a fungicide you can mix in a pump sprayer to use on that.
How big's the tree?
About 15 feet.
Okay. Well, if you got a good pump sprayer, you can do it. Anything above 20 feet, I don't think you can reach. The trick, Tom, is that you've got to spray it at the right time, which is coming up. And that's just when the buds start to break, the candles start to expand. So that's right now, at least on my trees. And then you spray the entire tree. And the material probably that's easiest for a homeowner to get is called chlorothalonil. That's the common name, chlorothalonil. And it comes under different brand names. It's the most common garden fungicide out there. So you can get it at garden centers, big boxes, you name it. But that's the material you use. Follow the instructions on the bag on how to spray it, and you've really got to soak the tree. So, you know, a pump-up sprayer, you're going to be refilling it quite a bit, but just really soak the tree so you get really good coverage on all those expanding new needles. Because the infection is already there on the old needles, and chlorothalonil prevents it from moving into the new needles. So that's why you've got to get such good coverage.
Okay, how did you spell that again?
Let me try it again. It's chlorothalonil. Now, you can go to my website, thegardeningshow.com, do all that, like I was saying, into that. And then last week or the week before, I have some information on this spruce needle cast disease and a whole bunch of the... There's a three-disease complex that's hitting spruces out there really badly right now. So you've got more information in there, and I don't remember exactly if they made spray recommendations or not, but you might be interested in just getting some more information on that.
And what causes that?
It's a fungus. There's three fungi involved in this. Carries over winter on the leaves and on the stems and then on the needles that fall off. It's a native disease, been around forever. But there's this new one combination that's coming in. It's causing a lot more damage. And nobody exactly knows exactly why that's going on. But the chlorothalonil may help with that, too. So it's a good thing to use, Tom.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yes, sir. 1-800-859-0957. Background music means we're going to take a break. The Gardening Show. We'll be right back.
To the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or WJR.com. Click into the on-air segment with top left corner. Down at the bottom of the list, Weekend Experts, and then into my show. And you can email me and find all the information again. And I remember I was talking about earlier that we've got podcasts are down below the email form, so don't give up. Just keep going. You'll find it, podcasts and information from previous shows. I did have someone email me about getting rid of Creeping Charlie. Check last week's information. I put a great website, I think it was from Purdue, on that, about that less than favorite plant, I'll tell you. But it's getting to be, I was looking at a couple spots in my yard. When the flowers start to turn blue or you start to get flowers, which I have a really protected area in my yard, they're starting already, that's your time. Or you can also look last week. I talked about how to time applications of things like crabgrass preventer by the growing degree day. And there's a chart there from EnviroWeather. Great article about that last week's show. You know, give me the phone number again. I got an open line. What's going on out there? 1-800-859-0957. After the cold weather, I think all of us just want to go back and hibernate. At least I did. Interesting, though. You know, it's one of those classic illustrations. Sometimes walking through your garden is an educational opportunity. I have two bleeding hearts that are about 3 feet apart. One of them got really badly damaged, and we didn't get down to 24, but I saw a couple of reports that in this area, the Metro Detroit area at least, we had down to 24, and that's killing temperatures. 28, plants can survive, but sensitive plants, 24, is not going to be good. Dicentra or bleeding heart is not very, the way mine's growing right now, is not very cold tolerant. One got nailed, the one 3 feet over didn't, and I was scratching my head till I looked up. The one that didn't get frozen was protected by a spruce tree. There's a branch that comes over right there. Microenvironments. My mother was always good at that. You know, she says sometimes moving a plant 3 feet, 2 feet, less than that can totally change the way it grows. And that is so true. And, you know, you don't have to go to any great jungles or explore that. Sometimes just exploring your backyard and your gardens is just as much fun and can be just as educational. 1-800-859-0957. Weird thing, though. Bob Tritton was writing about, you know, sometimes it just gets strange out there. He was picking up, and he's the Michigan State University fruit specialist for the Southeast region. He was picking up apple scab spores, which is the disease that causes leaf drop and all kinds of issues on apples. Apples, like the fruit-bearing ones and the crab apple types. My apple tree leaves aren't even out yet, so I don't know where the spores are coming from or why they're picking them up, but I believe what Bob says. So it might be one of those very weird springs. 1-800-859-0957. But it does prove that if you have an apple tree that is susceptible to apple scab and you decide to use a chemical spray for it, as soon as you start to see leaf break, that's when to go in with the first application of the fungicide. We never apply fungicides once you start to see flowers. You get that first application on just when you get about a quarter inch of green leaves, and then you wait until after the flowers are gone because we want to protect bees. Speaking of bees, we had someone called in or emailed me, and I apologize. Can't get your name up. I pulled it up this morning and then promptly didn't write it down. Anyhow, question was that they have bees digging holes underneath their shrubs. The mulch rolled back, as it does sometimes, and then the bees, you can just watch them going in and out, and they're multiple holes. And they have puppies. Sounds like a new puppy, or a couple of them, and they were wondering, is this something they need to worry about, or the puppy's going to get stung? And then if so, how do they control it? Well, the puppies might get stung, but it's a learning experience. If there's only, or there are multiple holes, in other words, each bee is working in one hole, those are ground nesting bees. They're native species, and they're very, very important to pollinating all kinds of plants. So we want to maintain those populations. And the thing about them is they're very non-aggressive. In other words, I wouldn't pick one up, but they're not going to chase you or anything like that. Now, if the puppies get under there and lay on and nest, they may get a rather rude awakening, but it won't hurt them very much. These are not very big bees. So it'll be just kind of yelping and then going away. So this is not something I would consider controlling at all. You might just pull the mulch back. That would probably discourage the bees that are there now or just anymore. Where you only have one hole, an entrance, where you see multiple bees going in and out, that's a totally different story. That is a colony nester bee. And then we start thinking about yellow jackets and bumblebees and things that will give your puppies big problems. But from what you're telling me, this is not what you're seeing. So just kind of enjoy them. Pull the mulch back over it a little bit and see if you can discourage them. If the puppies get into it, it's a learning experience for them too. Won't get hurt at all. 1-800-859-0957. And the lines are open. A couple other things that will be on, and this material, for instance, on ground nesting bees, I'll put that up on my website about Wednesdays when we update. So if you missed it or you want more information, I've got a great article on there, or we'll have on from Cornell, about these and how important they are to the environment. We really want to protect them. Also on that this week's website information, I'm going to be Gretchen Voyle, who is a MSU Extension educator in She's in the area here. She writes wonderfully, and it's just, I like to read her stuff, not only for the information, but because how nice it is to read somebody's that can really write, and she can. And I should have listened to her or had this in front of me before the cold snap, because she's got a great article on protecting your spring vegetables and other plants in your garden, not only from frost, but also insects and a few other nasties out there. So check that out. Okay. This one's really important. Each year, Terry Davis and Dave Smitley from Michigan State University's Entomology Department review the new grub control materials out there and list their recommendations for this year, and they got that out. I put it on the website, and we have the same things. But this year, of course, we're much more concerned about protecting or preventing bees from becoming exposed to some of these materials. Dave and Terry offer some very concrete examples on how to control that. But there also, there's a new material out there, and I'm going to mispronounce this one, chlorinatrotriloperyl. They listed in the article. It is new material. It is not translocated. There's no information at all that says that this presents any risk to bees. The problem with it is, our timing is different on this material. It's got to go on earlier. It is very slowly moved into the soil, while the other materials move rapidly. So it's got to go on fairly quickly, like within the next 3 to 4 weeks. The other materials, you put them on them in June or July. Okay, 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to John in Farmington Hills. John, welcome to the Gardening Show. John, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, welcome. What can I do for you?
Yes, these landscapers used to pull in front of my house. You know, I live on the main road, and okay, I kind of had them move, and I think some seedlings or whatever from where they go around have dropped in. There was a weed, and it grows in the ditch, and it takes away the grass, and it goes out like a parachute, and then, you know, like right now, since the winter's over and I rake out the rocks that the snowplow blades when they plow the main road, goes in the ditch, and then I see them and they're kind of flat to the ground, brown looking, and they spread out in all directions, and they got some hefty roots, you know, and I'll pull them all up. They keep coming back, and they just really like to get rid of them. I don't know what it takes or what they are.
Well,
they get lengthy and pretty big. They form in like circles, you know, and they're just...
Got me on that one, and it's not because you gave me a poor description, John. It's just that there's so many possibilities out there. I'm going to, on my website this week, check WGR.com, after about Wednesday, I'm going to put a weed ID site on, and it's really easy to use. So the first thing that you've got to do is... ID it, and then once we do that, let's talk a little bit about possible control methods. John, can you stay with me, because the background music means I've got to take a break, but if you'll stay with me and the rest of us stay with us, you've got I've got some lines open. 1-800-859-0957.
The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957. And I'm talking to John in Farmington Hills and John in Bowling Green, Ohio. You're up next. So John in Farmington Hills. Sorry we had to go to a break.
No, that's okay, Dean. So you want me to ID it, and then once I do, we can get connected again?
Yeah, now I'm not forming a good picture, John, that I want to try to diagnose it or ID it over the air. There's too many chances I'm wrong.
I understand.
Once you know what you're dealing with, then you can devise a strategy, because it depends a lot on the biology of the weed that you're dealing with. So we're going to ID it first and then go from there. But you've got another kicker here that you're going to have to deal with, and that's because it's in the ditch. This is, you know, if there's any water involved, you know, when you apply a chemical, you're always worried about it moving where it isn't supposed to be. So that's going to make it probably a bit more difficult to control this, whatever it is. You're going to have to take that into account once you figure out exactly what the weed is. So check out that site. It's really easy to use. And if you can't find it there, give me a call back in a week, and I've got a couple other possibilities. But I like this one on the weed ID. And then we can talk about controls a little bit, okay?
Okay, and you just gave me an idea in my head. I don't know if they have such a thing, but I'll throw it out there at you, and maybe another caller will curious to say they do or don't.
Okay.
But even though we're talking on the radio, it just occurred to me, you know, how they have the computers and the smartphones and people can, like, have meetings together.
Sure.
Is there ever a day where if we're on the show with you, we could show you a picture live as we're talking somehow, and then you could say, hey, look at that, and blah, blah, blah?
You know, that'd be a great idea. I need to talk to the engineers to see if that's possible. But, boy, wouldn't that be fun?
I don't know if they have it, but it seems like with everything else they have, like those GoToMeeting.com.
Sure.
And you can do videos with your phone. If you guys could figure some way,
it'd be great.
Think how the avenue would be for your show.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. But, again, I'm the biologist. I'll talk to the tech guys on that one. But that's a great idea. Let me check it out. Good. Thanks,
Guy. All right, great. Well, I'll get back with you again when I
check.
ID what this is.
Yeah,
and looking forward to your suggestions.
Check after Wednesday. It takes me a little time to get the information and then get it updated on the website. So Wednesday, probably afternoon, it should be there before that, and then you can take a look. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you. Now, let's go to the John in Bowling Green. John in Bowling Green, yes. Welcome to the gardening show.
Hey. Hello.
What's going on?
My question is a few years ago, we bought some land in the country, about 6 acres, and then I decided I had a great idea. I was going to take an acre of that six acres and make a group of trees. I guess they call that an orchard.
Okay.
And, you know, actually, the land that I put it on used to be farmed.
Okay.
So it wasn't, I guess it isn't that great a land because it was depleted, you know, and every time they farm, they put more stuff in it to make things grow. And they're just not doing well at all. I probably put 15 to 18 trees in, and it's not like they're just not doing anything. You know, they're not growing at all. Some of them get leaves on it, they're not really blooming per se.
Sure. No,
so I don't know if there's something not in the land that I needed to add. You know, to
let me do
something
it
is wrong.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Sounds like how again, John. You told me, and I it slipped. How old are these trees, or how long have they been in on your property?
Let's see. I guess 2 years, about two, maybe going on three now.
All right. How tall are they? Give me roughly.
Well, they vary in size. Some of them are 5 foot, and other ones are maybe 7.
Okay. What kind of fruit trees are they? Do you remember? Just give me a rundown. Apples, pears, combination.
Oh. Yeah, there was, we had apples, pears, we had, the cherries died.
Yeah, cherries are hard to get established sometimes.
Okay.
Two or three varieties of each kind, or each type, like two or three apples, or were they all the same kind?
Yeah, no, that's about right, yeah.
Okay, that's good. When did you buy them in a nursery or a garden center, or where did you get them?
It was a garden center.
Okay, cool. Did they say if they were dwarf or semi-dwarf trees? Okay.
They may have, but I don't remember.
Here's what I... do you get to the property frequently? Is it close to your house, your main house?
Yes, it is.
Does it have water available?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's get a couple of things straight. First of all, the next time you go out... When you planted the tree, did you notice that you see where the roots came out, and then there was a stem coming up, and then there should be a lot, looks like they cut the stem off, and another stem comes out of that. Does that sound familiar?
That's a grafted tree or something, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what I'm going after, because if it is a dwarf or a semi-dwarf tree, usually... you won't expect them to even start blooming heavily till the fourth year. So this would be the spring for them to come up. Now, another possibility is, of course, the winter has just been so... The last two have just been bad news. And you'll find that the flower buds are much more sensitive to the cold temperatures than the leaf buds. So a lot of times when the really cold takes all the flower buds out, you get great leaves and new shoots, but no flowers. And that's also going on in here, I'll bet. You know, so you got a couple things going. 4 years is about when I would expect to start to see some, not significant flowering, but, you know, you can tell that they're flowering. Now, the point, though, a couple things. Have you been able to prune these in the last...
Well, I was going to say, I'm not getting a whole lot of growth. I'd expect some branches, new branches and stuff like that, but I'm not getting that. I mean, virtually none. And that's why I'm so baffled, because...
Right. Okay, here's a couple of things that I want you to try. First of all, that type of lack of growth usually means it's stressed by some reason, and the first stressor that I can think of is water. Although after 4 years, the root system should be getting out enough that shouldn't be a problem. Is this a clay soil or a sandy soil or somewhere in between?
I think it's more like clay.
Okay.
Really tough.
Here's what I want, John, here's what I think what I would suggest you do. First of all, the next time you get out to the property, I would take a shovel with you, and I wanted you to do some digging. I want you to dig down by the side of a couple of those trees. You should still tell where the original hole was. And did you backfill the hole? Did you put lots of peat and things in it when you planted, or you just put the soil back in?
No, we added some stuff to it.
Okay. I'm making a bet with you right now that you'll find that the root system never moved out into the clay. Now, let's not panic. This can be fixed. But get out there and dig. It won't hurt the tree at all. Besides, it's not growing anyway. So just around the edge and see if you can see if the roots are moving out. At the same time, look how deep that, if it is grafted, how deep you planted it. That graft where the side shoot comes up should be sticking up out of the ground, above ground level. If it isn't, it's probably too low, and that can cause some slow development issues too. So you can move that out. And the third thing that I would suggest you do that you do for a soil test, talk to Ohio State Extension and about getting a soil tested. It's overdue, and that may give you some instance and some ideas. I got a sneaking suspicion from what you told me that those roots just haven't moved out into that heavy clay soil. And sometimes what happens is that when that happens, you put a lot of effort and money into making a very nice soil area for the roots to grow, and then they hit that clay and they say, forget this, I'm not going out. But what happens then, you get rain or you water it, and the water can't drain out of that hole either, so it gets very low oxygen in there. I call it the bathtub. You need to do some digging. Now, when you get down into there and you find out, if you find that there isn't any root growth or very little, don't panic. We can deal with that. How many trees do you have?
There's probably 12 to 15 left, maybe.
15, okay. I was going to say, if it's not too much work, probably the idea would be is to just lift them out. Pop them up. Take all that nice media that you made around off the tree, spread the roots back out, put the clay in it, and replant them. That would probably be the ultimate effect. If that's too much work, with 15 trees, that could be a pain. The other thing is that you could aerate a little bit, get a half-inch piece of steel pipe, something like that, sharpen it on an edge, and you just drive in there and take cores out into the clay so the roots can kind of break out into that. That takes a little work. But I think one of those two, I'm leaning toward the physical property issue first rather than any chemicals or you need to fertilize or anything. I would just bet those roots haven't had a chance to go up. Good luck, John. It's going to be a little bit of work, but, they survived this time. It'll be fine. So background music means, again, I've got to take a break. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome back. And before we go to Jim and Lapeer, I need to thank Rich Lazinski Sorry, I'll get your last name after how many years. chief engineer and executive producer today. He's a man of many talents, and without him, of course, this show doesn't go on. So, thank you, Rich. We appreciate it. But let's now go to Jim in Lapeer. So, Jim, welcome to the gardening show.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just curious, is it too late to be pruning the oak trees back?
Yes, and I assume that you're worried about the problem with oak wilt. DNR has come out with announcements, MSU's come out with it. The sap beetles that spread the disease are, we've had enough warm weather, that they probably are out, so it's not worth the risk. The only time that I would suggest doing any pruning until after it freezes hard again in the fall would be storm damage. If you've got storm damage, where you've got to go in and take limbs out or something like that because of all the other reasons, if you have to do it, Jim, then use, you don't need to use tree paint. I use a cheap latex. After you make your cuts, you got to seal that surface over so the beetles can't get attracted to the sap. But, yeah.
All righty, then. I guess one more year getting whacked with branches when I'm mowing, so...
Well,
maybe we won't have any snow next year,
Well, the trick, though, Jim, is wait until the fall till after a good freeze or a couple good freezes. Then, hopefully, hey, we live in Michigan. It could be 4 feet of snow on the ground. But you've got that... time in there, then you can go back in and prune again because the beetles are either killed off or they're hibernating. So that's another safe time. And if you're like me, my wife said I am always complaining about certain limbs that I forget to prune, and she just says learn to duck. Anyhow.
If not, it gets sore.
You got that right. You'd think after all these years and lumps I'd remember, but I don't. Anyhow.
I hear you.
Good enough, Jim. Hey, it's a great question. I sincerely appreciate that you ask it because it's deadly, and I've watched beautiful, beautiful trees die right in front of us.
That's just it. And from what I understand, the root system hooks up to each of the trees also, right? So one tree could affect the other?
Yeah, you can just watch it go down a clump of trees. You actually have to go in there, and you use a trenching machine to cut the roots. And even then, you worry about, did I get it early enough? Because there's a little bit of a lag phase in there.
I think we'll duck.
I think it's worth the effort in a few lumps.
We'll duck and pick up my hat or mow over my hat, one of the two.
Done that, too. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, been there, too. Thank you very much. Appreciate your show.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And if you didn't get a chance to talk to me, we're coming up to the end of the show. I don't know where the time goes. You can email me, wjr.com. You click into my website. And Larry and Wyandotte, thank you for the nice compliments. I don't know if I believe all the nice things you said about me. However, Larry's finding a whole bunch of little mounds or holes in his yard. And you're going, okay, what is it? Well, you got two possibilities, Larry, one of which is, if you were listening earlier in the show, we were talking about ground nesting bees. And they're out. Typically, they like sandy areas. They don't like to dig in clay. They're smarter than I am. The other thing is that they tend to nest their individual holes, but because they like the same site, you'll see a group of them in an area. And sometimes there can be so many that you get a little bit of a mound. But they will, when they dig that hole, you'll see each individual soil grain, especially if you have a little bit of a sandy soil. So they're pretty easy to ID. The other possibility, that the most common one, is earthworms, because we are getting some moisture in our soil now, and because they will come up. What you're seeing is the pellets, or the excrement of earthworms, and the hole, and then you see these little... looks like piles of pellets around the outside sometimes, and that's earthworms. The hole should be about the size of an old-fashioned number 2 yellow pencil, or unless you've got night crawlers and they're bigger. That's the two most common ones. There's a couple others. Grubs aren't causing the holes yet. They are still feeding on roots if they're active at all at this time, so they're not digging out. I don't know of any beetles that might be emerging at this time, although I guess it's always possible. Sometimes you see that. One thing, if the holes are bigger than what we talked about, birds going after it. Small birds can really dig a hole, and if you get a raven or a crow coming in, man, the holes get huge. So that's pretty much what I would suspect. Check my website out, Larry. I'm putting a great article from North Carolina State about what causes soil, mounds of soil in my lawn. And any of you golfers, you've seen this on putting greens. Where they're really doing a good job, the putting green is healthy, and you get lots of earthworms, which drives the groundskeepers nuts. But anyhow, it's really a good thing to see. Next week, we're going to have some guests. As we talked about, we've got this lots of things coming up. You can check on my events calendar for information. Check the events calendar this week because of the educational opportunity in Michigan State. Like I said, 10 spaces left as of yesterday. Coming up next week, though, we'll be talking about the American Rock Garden Society Annual Convention, which is going to be here next May 7th and 10th. And then maybe the plant sale, 15th and 16th at MSU at Hortgard, where I go get a lot of my plant material. If you can't have a question during the week, email me, gardeningshow.com, WJR.com, our flagship station here in Metro Detroit. Click into On Air, down at Weekend Experts, and then scroll down. Also, if you missed something today, you want to go back and say, I can't believe I said that, check the podcast. Have a great week.